I want to let you know that Woven will be this Saturday, 10 a.m. Be a great time. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Bless your holy and wonderful name. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Do we have any heirs in the house tonight? Amen. Not only are you an heir of Jesus, and with that you get salvation, healing, and really salvation means whole. So with salvation comes, it includes everything. But you get deliverance, peace, joy, unconditional love, and each one of you get a position in the family business. Who do you work for? You work for someone who owns a cattle on a thousand hills and all the taters underneath. You work for someone who has created all things. He's a master creator. You work for someone who is in all kinds of businesses. So I want to talk to you tonight about doing the works of Jesus. Or you might say taking over the family business. Amen? How many want to be about God's business? Amen. You know, we're living in a day and an hour where God's business has to be the forefront in our lives. Amen? And you know what? The Bible says that those who hunger and thirst after righteousness, they're the ones that are going to be filled. So the only requirement for God to fill you is hunger and thirst for righteousness. Amen? And you know, Jesus is the King of righteousness. So when you thirst for God, you thirst for Jesus, you thirst for the Holy Spirit, you thirst for His Word, you're going to be filled. Amen? And if you go to Luke chapter 2, praise God. I've got a lot of things to say. Obviously, I won't get to say it all in one night. But we have a work to do. Not only that, we have works to do. And it doesn't matter what your profession is. I'm not talking about profession. I'm talking about a work from God. You can work God's work in any profession. Whether you're in retail or wholesale, it doesn't matter. Whether you're in education or finance or construction, it doesn't matter. You can do God's work. Number one, you got to work the work of God in your own life. How do we do that? We live for God. Amen? That's a work that we can do. Luke chapter 2, verse 49. Jesus was missing for 3 days from his family. And they found him in the temple. His mother was worried about him. And he said to his parents in verse 49, "How is it that you sought me? Don't you know that I must," everybody say, "I must," "be about my Father's business." Say, "I must be about my Father's business." So your number one goal in life is to please God. That's your number one goal. And you please God by being obedient. And let's go to John chapter 9. John chapter 9. You may ask yourself, well, if I want to work the works of God, what's a work of God? Good question. And we're going to find that out. In John chapter 9, there's a story here. Verse 1. As Jesus passed by, he saw a man which was blind from his birth. Okay? So here Jesus was on his way to minister. He was on his way to preach the gospel. Okay? And he took notice of this man who was born blind. Okay? Maybe he was begging. Maybe he had on a beggar's coat. And his disciples asked him, saying, Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Jesus answered, neither has this man sinned nor his parents. Guess what? We're born into a world of sin. Why do bad things happen to good people? Because there's sin in this world. And sin doesn't distinguish if you're good or bad. Sin affects all of us. And when you come to Christ, you know that you have the victory over sin. Okay? Neither this man nor his parents sinned, nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him. Jesus was about to go to work. Amen? He wasn't on his way to work. His work just popped up wherever. Okay? Verse 4. I must work the works of him that sent me. Whose work was he doing? God's work, the one who sent him. Amen? You're not just at your job to make a lot of money. You're there to make an impact. You don't live in your neighborhood just to enjoy yourself. You're there to make an impact. Why do you think God put you there? Do you know where a light shines best? Where it's dark? I'm the only Christian in this place. What am I going to do? Praise God. You can be a light. You are there to shine. That's working the works of God. Verse 5. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. When he had thus spoken, he spat on the ground and made clay of the spittle. And he anointed the eyes of the blind man with clay. I guarantee you we'll never read that in any medical books. How did he know to do that? That was never done before. Something on the inside of Jesus told him that if he would make some clay with his spit, that is very unconventional, isn't it? See, we're going to have to realize that in order to do God's works, you are not alone. You're supposed to do his works by the Spirit of God. We're supposed to be led by the Holy Ghost. We're not supposed to be led by experience. Well, I did it this way last time, so if I do it like I did last time, then I'll get the same results. No. Not unless the Holy Spirit is telling you to do it the same way as you did it before. And he told the man, verse 7, go wash in the pool of Siloam, which is by interpretation sent. He went his way, therefore, and washed and came seeing. Praise God. That was some powerful spit. You know, one of my friends in my early days of preaching, I was even more wild than I am now, if you can imagine. And so he wanted to get me a shirt that said, "Spit Happens." Because in my preaching, a lot of spit would fly. Verse 8. The neighbors, therefore, and they which before had seen him, that was blind, said, "Is not this he that sat and begged?" So apparently he was begging when Jesus saw him. "Did others see this miracle?" Absolutely. Others saw this miracle. God is going to use you. Say, God's going to use me in a way that other people can see his goodness. In other words, God wants to do so many good things through you that you're an advertisement for him. Anybody want to be a billboard for Jesus? Where you're doing his works, you're advertising his goodness and his love. Let me tell you something. God needs people to do his work. God needs you to do his work. He needs you to hear the Holy Spirit. He needs you to step out in faith. He needs you to be filled up with his word. He needs you to do his work. Jesus finished his work, but his work still goes on. He said, "I'm done. I'm taking a vacation. I'm going home." Go with me to John chapter 14. John 14. And really, that guy didn't know who healed him until the end. If you read the story, we're not going to go through it all. But at the end of that chapter, he believes on the Son of God and he worships Jesus because he didn't even know who healed him. But he was telling the people, this guy's got to be from God. Otherwise, how can such a notable miracle occur if God wasn't with him? John 14. Let's look at verse 10. Jesus is having a conversation with one of his disciples, Philip, here. And he said, "Do you believe not that I am in the Father and the Father in me?" I want you to notice that phrase, "I'm in the Father and the Father is in me." When did the Father come in Jesus? I'll answer that question in just a minute. He said, "The words that I speak to you are not of myself, but the Father that dwells in me, he does the works." Let's go to Matthew chapter 3. Praise the Lord. Let's look at Matthew chapter 3, verse 13. "Then come Jesus from Galilee to Jordan unto John to be baptized of him. But John forbade him, saying, I have need to be baptized of you, and you come to me. Jesus answering said unto him, Suffer it to be so for now. For thus it becomes us to fulfill all righteousness. Then he suffered him." John said, "Okay." "And Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water, and lo, the heavens were opened unto him. And he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting upon him." Let me ask you this question. What descended upon Jesus? The Holy Spirit. A dove didn't fly down and rest on his shoulder. It was the Holy Spirit like a dove in a gentle way. Okay? And a voice from heaven saying, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." I'm going to propose to you that this is when the Father entered into Jesus, when he was baptized by the Holy Spirit. Amen? God opened his door. Is God a spirit? Absolutely. Did Jesus do any miracles before he was baptized? He had a sense of his purpose. He had a sense of what his business was going to be, but Jesus did no miracles until he had the Holy Spirit. Okay? So, if Jesus needed to be baptized with the Holy Spirit, how much more do you and I need to be baptized with his Holy Spirit? Because remember, after he was baptized, he went to the wedding of Cana, and the Bible says this was his, what? First miracle. Okay? So, the works of God. Say, I'm called to do the Lord's works. Okay, he's got works for you to do. Let's go back to John chapter 14. Okay? Let's read verse 10 again. Believe you not that I'm in the Father and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwells in me, he does the works. Do you have that close of a walk with the Lord where you're in him and he's in you and you speak his words and he does the work through you? That's called agreement and unity with the Father. Amen? Okay, verse 11. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father in me. Didn't he just say that? Or else believe me for what? The very works' sake. In other words, when the Father is in you and you're in the Father, there's going to be evidence in your life. There's going to be power that's activated where you are. Do you not have the same Holy Ghost that Jesus has? Absolutely. You have the same Spirit. Bible says, if the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in you, amen, he will quicken your mortal body. I want you to know something. You are a revival going somewhere to happen. Why? Because you are carriers or containers of the power of God. And when God puts you in a place where his work needs to be done, all he needs is an outlet. Be an outlet for God. When you're plugged into God, he's going to make you shine. See, God doesn't expect you to do his works without his power. How many go on a job and they say, I'm not going to give you anything, I'm not going to tell you anything, but you got to do this job. They give you nothing? Did they give you a chair? All right, well, that's something. But see, God doesn't expect you to do his works without his power. And see, God wants to do a work right here in Palmyra. He wants to do a work in your neighborhood. He wants to do a work. You know, God's work is not limited to these four walls. If you look at the life of Jesus, he was in the synagogue, he was on the beach, he was in the marketplace, he was at people's homes, and guess what? He did God's work everywhere he went. All God needs is some people to cooperate with his will. And be like the prophet and say, Lord, here I am. Use me. Here I am, Lord. Speak through me. Touch through me. Love through me. God wants you to touch people's lives wherever you go. Wherever you are. Wherever you dwell. He wants to work through you. You're not in this alone. The Bible says that Jesus worked with them, confirming his word with signs following. There are works to be done. Amen? There are devils to be cast out. Oh, I've never cast out a devil. Well, maybe it's time you should. You have authority over the devil. He doesn't have authority over you. It's time for God's children to lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. Well, that's just left up for the preachers. No, it's for every believer. He didn't say preachers lay hands on the sick. He said believers shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. There are works, there are people that need to know Jesus. Amen. And you may be the only Jesus to the people that you're around. Maybe they don't go to church. They need someone to go to them and take Jesus to them. We need to be witnesses. That's really what the power is for. You shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you to do what? To be witnesses. If you've got the Holy Ghost, then you should be a witness in some way, shape, or form. That doesn't mean you have to be the best speaker. There's many ways that you could witness. Make yourself available to God and listen to the Holy Spirit and let God work through you. That's what I'm talking about. Because we are called, we have to do the works of Jesus. Moses didn't get going on God's business till he was 80. Hello? Right? He spent how many years leading sheep? 40 years. Right? He left Egypt. Why did he leave Egypt? Because he was a wanted man. And he left the palace to the pasture. But see, during those 40 years, God met him where he was. Let me tell you something. God knows exactly where you are. He knows how to get a hold of you. He knows how to get in touch with you. And one day, God ignited a bush on fire. But this bush wasn't burning, but there were flames. He'd never seen anything like it. That got Moses' attention. What was it? That was the glory of God. Be aware when the glory of God knocks on your door. Amen? When you have an encounter with God. You know, there in my life, I can remember different encounters that I've had with God. One time I was in the Czech Republic. We were there on a missions trip. Things weren't going like we had hoped. And we found this Bible study of this Swedish evangelist. God sent an evangelist from Sweden to the Czech Republic, and our group connected with him. And I can remember that during the Bible study, he looked at me. And he began to prophesy over me. And when he started speaking over me, my whole body shook and my breathing was heavy because the power of God was so intense on me. For 45 minutes, I was like, you know how when your body gets, I mean, my body, I felt this surge of power come on me. What was happening? I was having an encounter with God. He was speaking of my future. And see, this is why church is so important. Maybe you get beat up and bruised during the week. And you got to come here and you got to connect with God and you got to have an encounter with God so that you can be filled up to go out and minister to others. Amen. You cannot lay empty hands on empty heads and expect something to happen. You know, when God told Samuel to anoint David, he made this statement. He said, go fill your horn with oil, or fill your horn with oil and go. Now, what if Samuel hadn't filled his horn with oil? By the time he got to David, he probably would have had to shook that horn just to get a few drops. But see, he needed his horn full of oil. Horn represents authority. And oil is representative of the Holy Spirit. He went there to transfer the spirit that was on Saul for king onto David. And when they anointed a person with oil in those days, they dumped the whole flask of oil on their heads. But that was a symbol of the Holy Spirit coming on David. God had a work for David to do. His work was to be king and to lead his people Israel. And in order to do that, he needed the anointing. He needed the power of God. Amen? When God needed a voice, when he needed a prophet, remember Elijah was having a pity party because Jezebel sent him a letter? If she was really going to kill him, wouldn't she send an assassin? Oh my gosh, she sent me this hate mail. I got this hate mail. And that caused Elijah to run in the wrong direction. What has the devil used against you to get you off track? To get you sidetracked of what your main purpose on this earth is, to do the works of the Lord? And while Elijah was having his pity party, when he was sitting in the cave, and God, you know, there was an earthquake, there was a fire, God wasn't in any of them, but God was in the still small voice. And God told Elijah, he said, go anoint Elisha as prophet in your stead. So what happened was, Elijah found Elisha. He was plowing with 12 yoke of oxen. And Elijah came and threw his mantle on him. The mantle was an outer garment, and there were different garments for different professions. Okay? But it represented the anointing and the power of God. So before Elisha ever stepped into the office of a prophet, he had the anointing of God to do so. And he came, he threw his mantle on him, and what did Elisha do? He killed all of his oxen, he burned the yoke, and he committed to following after God. And he ended up doing twice as many miracles as Elijah did. All right? I just said that to say that for whatever God has planned for you, he has the power for you to do it. And if you're still breathing, your work is not done. Your work isn't done till you go to heaven. Since we're all here, we need to be about our Father's business. And we need to do it with power. Amen? We need the power of God. We need the power of God. We cannot do it without the power of God. Okay? Let's go to John chapter 17. John 17. Let's look at verse 4. Well, let's go back up to verse 1. John 17, 1. These words spoke Jesus and lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour is come. Glorify your Son, that your Son may also may glorify you. As you have given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as you have given him. And this is life eternal, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you sent. He's the source of your power. And when you know him, he'll give you his power. Verse 4. I have glorified you on the earth. I have finished the work which you gave me to do. We have to get to the point where we can say, I finished God's work with joy. You know, the Apostle Paul, he said, I've ran my race. I finished my course with joy. You know why? Joy is the anointing. Joy is the power of God. God's work is not drudgery. If it's heavy, if it's drudgery, then it's not God, because he said, my burden is light, my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. In other words, there's going to be a certain amount of joy with what God has for you. Okay? Verse 5. And now, Father, glorify me with your own self and with the glory which I had with you before the world was. I have manifested your name unto the men which you gave me out of the world. They were yours, and you gave them to me, and they have kept your word. Now they have known all things whatsoever you have given to me are you. And let's go to John chapter 5. Well, no. Let's, on your way to John 5, stop at John 6 for a minute. John chapter 6, verse 28 and 29. Now we got to go read verse 27. Labor not for the meat which perishes. What is that saying? You ought to invest your life more in the eternal than the temporal. But for the meat which endures unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give you, for him has God the Father sealed. Then they said unto him, what shall we do that we might work the works of God? Isn't that a good question? What do we need to do to work the works of God? This is such an easy answer. You know, the works of God are not hard. Notice what Jesus said. Verse 29. Jesus answered and said unto them, this is the work of God, that you believe on him whom he sent. Is it hard to believe God? Simply by believing God, by having faith in God, you can do his works. When you are up against a struggle or a challenge, your response should be, let's pray. And then after you pray, you need to say. Sometimes you have to pray, other times you have to say, speak unto this mountain. He didn't say pray about the mountain, did he? Mark 11, he said, speak to the mountain, command it to be removed, and cast into the sea, but do not doubt in your heart, but believe that those things whatsoever you say, you shall have. You can have what you say. There are times to say, and there are times to pray. How are you going to know the difference? The Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit will tell you when to say, and he'll tell you when to pray. Why? Because he's been given to us to bring us into all truth. Aren't you glad that God gave us his Holy Spirit? Okay? Now let's go to John chapter 5. And we're going to go to verse 19. John 5:19. Then answered Jesus and said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, the Son can do nothing of himself. Say, the Son can do nothing of himself. So what makes us think that we can do everything ourselves? God will always call you to something bigger than yourself. Why? Because it will make you get help. It will make you get help. God will put you in a position where you can't do it on yourself. And if you try to do it all yourself, you'll be frustrated. That's why he calls the church the body of Christ. Hello, my hand doesn't do things on its own. My feet don't do things on their own. Why? Because I got this whole body, and this whole body has to work together. My hand cannot take a nap when my rest of my body's working. I know sometimes when they get into a position, they sleep on the job, but you wake them up. The Son can do nothing of himself, but what he sees the Father do. That's a good point. Who are we looking to get the job done? If we're not looking to the Father, we're not going to see what the Father wants us to do. That means we got to get close to the Father. When it talks about seeking God, what does it tell us to seek? To seek his face. Why do we seek his face? So that we can see what to do. Thank you, Lord Jesus. For the Son can do nothing of himself, but what he sees the Father do. See, you need help from a powerful helper. And by the way, what is the Holy Spirit called? I'll give you another comforter. You know what that's called? Helper. A helper. The Holy Spirit is your helper. He will help you do what you need to do. Okay? For what things soever he does, these also do the Son likewise. In other words, when you're in tune with God, when you're walking with God, you're in agreement with his word is in your heart, his Holy Spirit is in you, guess what? What you do is going to reflect what the Father's doing. But when you're out of line with God, you know, there are no lone rangers in the body of Christ. When you're out of sync with God, then your actions are going to be different than God's. Because Jesus said, my meat is to do the will of him who sent me. He considered doing God's will for his life more important than pleasing his body. And we have to be in tune with God in order to do the work that he wants us to do. If we're not in tune with God, we're going to short circuit his power. Verse 20. For the Father loves the Son. Guess what? The Father loves you just like he loves the Son. Say, the Father loves me. And because he loves you, he shows you all things that he himself does. When you don't know, when you don't have wisdom to do something, what can you do? You can ask. Who are you going to ask? And what do you know about God when you ask him? What kind of a giver is God? He's a generous, he's a liberal, he's an overflowing, he's an abundant giver. So that when you ask him for something, he's always going to give you more than what you ask for. So when you come up against something that you don't know what to do, which should happen often, if you're not encountering things that you can't do, then you need help. You need to expand. Amen? I had no clue how to pastor a church before I got here. I didn't know what I was doing. Sometimes I still don't. But that's, thank God, I can talk with God, and he'll help me. He'll give me divine solutions. He'll give me power to do things. Because he loves me, and he loves you. God loves you. Do you know that God wants you to succeed? He said, with long life will I satisfy you. How many want long life? Well, God will satisfy you with the life as long as you want. But your mouth and your actions better be in agreement with God. I'm almost finished. Because he loves you, he shows you all things, and he will show him greater works than these, that you may marvel. For as the Father raises up the dead and quickens them, even so the Son quickens whom he will. Guess what? If Jesus laid hands on the sick, you can lay hands on the sick. If Jesus cast out devils, you can cast out devils. If Jesus lived by faith, you can live by faith. If Jesus never had a bad day, you don't have to have a bad day. You know, having a bad day is a choice. Oh, now you're telling on me, Pastor. That's right. Let me go to Matthew chapter 5, and then I'm going to finish. Matthew chapter 5. Verse 16. It says, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. You know what? I read that wrong for many years. I thought that letting my light shine was doing the good works, but it's not. This is a light, isn't it? But if I want it to shine, what's going to make it shine? You're going to have to connect it to the power. Notice what this verse says again. See, you're going to have to connect it to something and then plug it into something. Because by itself, this is a bulb, but right now it's not a light because it's not lit. In order for it to be a light, it needs to have power on the inside of it. And when you connect it to the power, it will light, it will shine. Oh, praise God. Notice. Okay. Let your light so shine. So your light should be shining that they may see your good works. If your light is not lit, they're not going to see your good works. In other words, if your light is not lit, your works will be hidden. But the power makes your works known to everybody else. It's the power that makes the difference in your works. It's like the difference between riding a bike for 30 miles and driving a car. You can get to the same place, but it's going to take you a lot longer. And sometimes we're like that with God. The light, Jesus said, I'm the light of the world. But what made Jesus shine was the Holy Ghost. He needed the Holy Ghost because the Holy Ghost is the power source, and that's what adds the brightness to the light. Oh. Let your light so shine before men. You gotta exercise the fruit of the Spirit before men. You gotta walk by faith before men. It has nothing to do with pleasing men, but we live right here, right? Let your light shine before men that, see, they're not going to see your good works until you're shining. That they may see your good works. See, when they see your good works with power, what's going to happen? They're going to glorify your Father which is in heaven. And really, that's the goal. So when we do works in our own human strength and our own human abilities, they're not going to be glorifying God because we're not going to have the power for them to see. We need the power of God. Amen? When you come together and worship, we need the power of God. And when you come into service, you see, when we're reading the word, see, this is what we plug into. All right? But when we plug into the word, then the Holy Spirit takes that and he activates the word and makes it alive. In other words, the Holy Ghost is the catalyst to cause a chemical reaction with the Word of God. And when you connect the Holy Ghost and the Word together, life is produced. Amen. And you will tell the difference when you're doing works in your own strength versus strength of God. Because when that man got healed in John 9, it was when he got healed when they glorified God. They weren't glorifying God when he was blind, but it's when he got healed that they started glorifying God. See? So whatever work you do, think about this now. I want you to go to your job with a different attitude. Maybe your job is make your home. You're going with a different attitude. You have to think of this like, whenever I show up, I'm the anointed of God, and I'm going to let God shine through me. That means you may have to prophesy to dead bones. If you work with dead bones, God told Ezekiel to prophesy to those dead bones. And you know what? The bones didn't have ears, so it wasn't the bones hearing him, it was God hearing him. So when you're speaking, when you're prophesying, when you're speaking under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, and you're saying what God says to say, there's going to be power behind your words. Amen. You cannot control your body simply by modifying your behavior. You've got to have some power to do that. Doesn't the Bible say, through the Spirit, mortify the deeds of the flesh? One more scripture. Go to Galatians 5 and I'm done. See, why am I teaching on this? Because it's going to take all of us working together with God to have the power of God in our services like we need to. You may have an unction to prophesy. I say prophesy. You may have an unction to, maybe if you see an angel, we want to know about it. Say, guess what, Pastor? I just saw an angel. Say, testify. Let's talk about the angel. Galatians 5, verse 25. If we live in the Spirit, let us then what? Walking is everyday living. You have the Spirit, but now you got to take what God's given you and make it practical. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. So that tells me that whether you're in the Spirit or out of the Spirit, it's your choice. Let me ask you this question. Are you in this building right now? Can you get out of this building? How are you going to do that? You make a choice. You made a choice to be in this building, and you're here. So now, take the information that you've received and walk in it. Because, let me tell you something. God is getting ready to move. No, I'm sorry. God is already ready to move. But He's waiting for us. He needs a man or a woman to hook up with Him, to connect with Him, to touch His heart, to be available, to be willing to be used by God however He wants to use you. Amen. Since we're not Lord, we don't have the right to dictate how God wants to use us. Well, I only want to be used this way and not that way. Then you're your own Lord. And in order to get ready, we want this church to be ready for revival. We want this church to be filled with people. The greatest way that you can witness is through relationship. Build relationships. Jesus ate with sinners. But I guarantee you that when He came over their house, that atmosphere was different. We want to create an atmosphere in this place where the power of God can move. But in order to do that, we have to hook up with the Holy Spirit, because He's our teacher, He's our trainer, He's our leader. And I'm going to be talking about how to work with the Holy Spirit for as long as I need to, until we can create that flow with God where it's popping like popcorn. I could just see. This is like a big microwave, and we're kernels of popcorn, and we're popping for the Lord. I'm popping for the Lord. I'm popping for the Lord. Add a little butter to the sauce. Woo! I got some buttered popcorn. That's the anointing. That's the Holy Ghost oil. Amen? God wants us to be popping like popcorn, because there are lost people out here, and they need to be brought to a sanctuary that they can encounter the power of God. But if we're not encountering the power of God, how do we expect them to encounter the power of God? Stop complaining about your job and start rejoicing where God placed you. Complaining, I cannot tell you how God hates it. So if you're a complainer, stop and repent and move on. That doesn't bring the Holy Ghost and His power. The Holy Ghost is not going to hook up with a complainer. The devil is going to hook up with a complainer. So we're going to have to be vessels of honor. We're going to have to live right, live holy. You know, you need to be clean pipes for God. The Bible tells us to cleanse ourselves, humble ourselves. I want the power of God, unrestricted. I want unrestricted access to God's power. And we're moving into a time when He wants to do that in this earth. There are so many places they have a form of godliness, but they deny the power. They deny it. They say, I don't want to have anything to do with the power. They're clean on the outside, but they're full of dead men's bones. It's time that the body of Christ respond to what God wants to do in this earth. He wants to pour out His latter rain. the early and the latter rain together. He wants us to claim the heathen as our inheritance. He wants us to shine as lights, not just be a bulb, but to actually illuminate for Jesus. And that's going to come through the Holy Spirit. So God's going to be getting us into shape so that he can move by his Spirit the way he wants to. Amen? Amen? Because we're going to see and we're going to hear the glory of God moving in our midst. And you know, there's a testimony board in our kitchen. That thing ought to be full of testimonies. We ought to be popping testimonies often, frequently. Amen? We need to increase testimonies. How are we going to do it? We're going to connect with the Holy Spirit. We're going to listen to his voice. We're going to obey what he says, and God's going to show up and do it. Amen? Are you with me? You want to see this happen in this place? Amen? I want to see people get healed right here, right now. People filled right here, right now. I want the Holy Ghost just to interrupt me anytime he feels necessary. And just do it like he did at Cornelius' house. Just come down. Everybody got filled. That's going to require us to pray more. Because we're going to have to be looking to God and hearing his voice. Because we don't want to miss it. Listen, opportunities come. But if we miss the opportunity, they may not come again. The Bible doesn't say you're guaranteed another opportunity. I mean, if we don't take the opportunity that we have, I don't want to miss it. So, especially on Wednesday nights, we're going to be teaching about how we can operate with the Holy Spirit. On Sundays, for this month, we're talking about worship. So as we worship on Sundays and teach about the Holy Spirit on Wednesdays, whoo, we're going to make an explosive force for God. You bring the natural and the supernatural together. Boom! You know, if you have a stick of dynamite, it's no good unless you light the fuse. So we're going to, and then August 4th, that's the first Saturday in August, we are having a worship celebration, a night of worship, 6 p.m. So we're going to culminate this month by closing it off with worshiping. And I believe God's going to show up and do miracles, signs, and wonders. Amen? And you know what? We don't have to wait to August 4th to have that. Let's believe God for miracles, signs, and wonders now. If God's word says that we can have miracles, signs, and wonders, let's believe for it. Amen. You know, when you get up and you get ready for church on Sunday, you say, I'm going to a place that's going to have miracles, signs, and wonders. You're going to tell your family, say, "Whoa, I'm going to church. If you want to come with me, come on. If you don't, then stay home. But I'm going to praise the Lord." David said, I was glad when they said unto me, let's go to the house of the Lord. So many people come in sad. We miss it. You got to stir yourselves up. Pray in the Holy Ghost. You know, if you haven't prayed, try praying in the Holy Ghost for an hour. You know, didn't Jesus tell his disciples, couldn't you just tarry 1 hour? Try praying in the Holy Ghost for 1 hour and see what God does. You'll be amazed. Well, I'm done talking. Amen? Let's stand up for just a minute before we leave. And let's give the Lord praise. Father, we praise you in this place. Lord, you have created us to do your works. Father, we're going to do the works that you do, and greater works shall we do because you're with the Father. Lord, you've empowered us. You've called us. You've filled us. You've chosen us. You've anointed us, Father, in the name of Jesus. We praise the Lord. Blessed be your holy name, Father. Ignite us with a holy passion and a fire shut up in our bones. Father, we cry out for the fire of God in the name of Jesus. Lord, give us the fire of God and burn in our souls. Lord, burn in our hearts, Father, burn in our spirit in the name of Jesus. Lord, make us a flame of fire. Father, we cry out for the fire of God. Lord, we hunger and we thirst for living water. Father, we want the new wine. Father, we We want to be filled with your goodness and your grace and your power. We bless you, Lord. We praise you, Lord. We magnify you, Lord Jesus. Oh, Rabba Sitiya Ramamama. Oh, Rabba Kasondra Borakasada. Yaramako Sondra Morakasana. Father, I pray that you would transform us in the name of Jesus. Cause us to be conformed to the image of Christ in Jesus' name. Oh, we bless you, Lord. We praise you. Father, reveal truths and plans in the name of Jesus to us. We give you thanks and praise, Lord God. We bless the name of Jesus. Praise the name of Jesus. Oh, we glorify you, Lord. Bless your holy name. Praise your holy name, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord God. Hallelujah. And there will be times where we have to go to war. There will be times where we have to take on spiritual forces, but the weapons of our warfare, they're not carnal, but they're mighty through God. They're mighty through God. Satan has had too much of a grip on your families. You need to tell Satan to get his hand off your family. And if he doesn't want to, take his hand off in Jesus' name. You have the authority. Hallelujah. Plead the blood of Jesus. Kick doubt out. Laugh in depression's face. Dance just because it feels good. Hallelujah. We're going to see great and mighty things. Anybody got anything? You feel like you got to give a word of encouragement? Give it now.
Small things are great. Remember, it doesn't start with the greatest. The small things turn into greater things.
Amen. Amen. That's a good word. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. You know, a small thing could just be like this. Just that little shift can do great things. Amen. 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 Praise God. It's going to be a good ride. Lord, we love you. Have a good night.